Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are.
Good morning.
And, heading in the last week of January, where this will be aired, and the year has already started and keeps going.
Amazing how that happens, right?
Yeah. And it's going to be, it's always when you think of the year that, you know, we have ahead of us. At the end of that year, we know a couple things. It's interesting. It's going to be different than we thought. Mm-hmm. For you, a year ago, you weren't planning on having a kid live in Oregon.
Right.
You have a certain, let's say, family structure of how you gather and how you enjoy each other. And that's what, you had desired and set
right.
up. Well, in the middle of it, God said, hey, by the way, your kids are going to get this job offer and they're going to leave you and go to Oregon.
Which changes
the dynamics. So now your year, mm-hmm. as you're planning out, is different.
Right.
You're going to take trips out there that you never would have thought about taking.
Right.
Which will change the whole dynamic of it. So, and when we talk about margin, what that means is that now with this new activity, mm-hmm. that's going to take time.
Right.
Well, if I do that, what can I reduce? What can I change
right.
differently? As opposed to, I'll keep doing all the things I'm doing mm-hmm. and then add it on top of it.
And then you just get chaos.
Yeah. And so you and I, partly because of your dynamic and our dynamic mm-hmm. as well, we keep thinking of, okay, how can we better do the podcast that fits what God is up to in our life? Mm-hmm. When we first started, we were doing hour long podcast every week, and we were doing it like two or three times a week.
We did that over a year.
Yeah.
Over a year, we did our first podcast were all hour long episodes.
Yeah.
Probably 400 episodes at least are 1 hour.
and we were doing that two or three times a week.
Yeah.
Remember we had to plan out every week
because
you couldn't get ahead of it much. And then God gave us this idea of, because people are saying, I'm listening on my commuting and I don't get to the end of it while I'm commuting, So
right.
we thought, let's cut it in half, So we did, which actually turned to be a wonderful thing,
That's been great for both of us. Yeah.
And then we worked on that. And then, how can we prepare for that? And basically we had come down to once a week that we would tape mm-hmm. that worked, and we would do it generally on Thursdays. And then that included a guest in End Times Fridays. And we were doing okay with that. And then, as you were looking at this year, and I was looking at this year, is that, it even has to get better. It has to be mm-hmm. more fluid of what we're doing. How could we do that? So we prayed about that and looked at, and Denny Weinberg, has been on End Times Friday, particularly with his friends, Eric and
right.
Rabbi.
And he's an amazing resource. He's
yeah.
a great
and,
guy
and
to
he,
have.
And he loves research.
Mm-hmm.
So we just thought, maybe what we should do is, instead of taping with you End Times Fridays, we'll tape it with him because I can do it separately with him.
Right.
And it's only, generally an hour or so at a time. So we
right.
can do that, no problem. And then you and I can move to a few more tapings, but do it every other week.
Yeah, which gives us both more bandwidth.
Yeah, and then we can pick and choose the days that we have. Because if you're going to go to Oregon,
mm-hmm.
well, you're not going to tape during that.
Right.
So we can organize differently. So you keep thinking of margin and refinement. Okay, Father, how do we keep our sweet spot?
Mm-hmm.
My relationship with my spouse, my family, my work, the ministry that we have. How do we keep that up? Because he said, I'll bring you to that sweet spot if you have a heart to go.
Right.
And that means rest and margin, and you're doing good things. But as that changes, mm-hmm. he says, I'm going to have to reorganize things for you.
Right.
And sure, let's keep doing that, you know, and so we do. And we're, you know, we're excited about that, to be part of, you know, what he's up to, and to keep rethinking, okay, what is this next year going to look like? And how do we organize it? One, and then I'm going to have new experiences. Like you're going to wind up with, you know, going to Oregon and finding a whole different, interesting dynamic out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's whatever days you spend with them, you got to add a day to travel to and back.
Yes, yes, because it is a long hike out there from us.
That's another thing you got to consider. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to replan your months when you do travel. You'll have to do something, you know, because you have a small group and stuff that you do.
Right.
Well,
lots of adjustments. Yeah.
Lots of adjustments. So we just, you know, would encourage everybody, as you look at your year, first of all, there'll be some surprises to you, which is mm-hmm. always God's way of keeping you on this great adventure of life that he has for us, which is going to be to create a grand thing, and to be willing to adjust the scheduling and the mm-hmm. activity to what he would have for us, so that we maintain, you know, the sweet spot. By the way, as you live in your sweet spot, it's way easier to deal with conflict.
Mm, that's so true.
Yeah, because your edginess, see, isn't front and center, and what I call low-level infection.
Right.
And that is people that are just too busy. They're just irritated all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's pressure, it's stress. And when somebody then has a conflict with you or opposes you or does something, you kind of blow.
Right.
And you overreact. And it's legitimate that you're angry, but your response to that is difficult. Why? Because I don't have the time to get my heart right with God. I don't have the time to process the truth. And I just want to jump to solution and tell somebody, you better change and do it right now.
Yeah. And even if it's not around conflict, you can't, you know, love and hurry don't go hand in hand.
No, no.
You cannot love someone well in the middle of it. Funny little illustration that we'll just share with you. Dan and I, the other day after church, there's this little place called Happy Feet right around the corner from the church. None of the kids were available to go out to lunch, and we're like, let's go get a foot massage or whatever. So we call, and, you know, first indicator when you can call a couple hours before and get an appointment for two of you, you maybe a red flag should go up that you should not be going to this place to get a massage. And it was just supposed to be a foot massage. But anyway, we go in and have this hour appointment. And I tell you, there is nothing relaxing whatsoever about this. It was, I don't even know how to describe it, but truly the person who's doing this massage was just like, everything they were doing was so fast that like is. But I'm kind of like, okay, God, so I'm going to pray for them while we're in the midst. I'm going to pray that they will slow down and just feel rest, feel peace, something. And I felt like God just kind of laughed at me. He's like, no, I actually, because I'm about to be going to Nashville this next week, and my mom hates when I make her hurried. That is like a button for her if I try to make her hurry. And God used this just to remind me. He's like, I actually want you to feel this for a minute. Love, even if something is good, this massage could be great. If it is being done in a hurry, it does not feel good.
Yeah.
It's like, I need you to remember that when you step into Nashville this week and you go to serve your mom. I don't care how loving you think you're being. If you are hurrying her in the midst of it, she is not going to feel love. She is going to feel anxious in the midst of it. So pay attention to this.
Yeah.
That's all right. Of that to say, exactly, you know, when it's conflict, there's that side of it, but also simply hurry and love don't go together.
Yeah. And when, particularly when you're dealing with, you know, this aspect of working toward reconciliation by speaking truth, it can't be done in a hurried way, because you have to have a gentle discussion, and it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes focus, by the way. So, you know, you can't do it while you're watching TV.
Right.
You can't do it while you're on a computer. Is you have to actually, you know, look at the person and say, okay, I'm gonna give you, you know, energy with that. And you know, kind of what you said, I've learned, you know, that if I'm, let's say I'm watching like a sports thing on television. And either one of the kids or a friend or Linda comes and would like to say something, talk to me, I've learned I turn the TV off.
Right.
And, okay, I'm going to give you my attention. And I'm going to take the time because I think what you're saying is really important is one of the ways of respect for each other is mm-hmm. not a hurried, you know, let's get this resolved and, you know, get it on with it and get it over with. Because what happens, by the way, is you jump to solution.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is start to share first how we feel about something and what happened. And then we'll get to solution. But if you hurry it, you skip all that.
Right.
And, you know, just say, I want you to. I'm mad. I want you to change. I want you to do this differently. And there's no discussion about it. You know, so, you know, I think I've used the example of me, you know, being late and Linda had a right to be angry. See, if she approached it with, Rich, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. So I want you to do boom, boom, boom. And I never even processed anything. Neither did she.
Right.
Well, it wasn't really love. It really wasn't honor and respect. Mm-hmm. And then two is we didn't really get to the real issue underneath it all is, yeah, maybe Rich, you're overscheduling. See, she could just say, just stop doing that. You know, if you're going to pick me up at 5, pick me up at 5, that's it. Well, that didn't deal with any of the underlying issue of, well, why am I late?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm overscheduled. And we had to get to that through that discussion.
Right.
That God said, yeah, the real issue, Rich, for you is I got to change a lot of things about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a symptom at the very top of it. And Linda shared with it, you know, and now that you know that, why? Because love in all respects is time and not hurried time. And I love that you're bringing that up, is that you're not trying to get to a punchline. You're mm-hmm. actually taking the time. And that's why it says it takes time. If you're going to have a discussion about reconciliation, it takes time. And what did we learn last time? It says, speak the truth. And what you do is, would you listen to, let me share with you a situation. Here's what happened. Mm-hmm. You did this, and I reacted this way, and this is how it hurt me, and this is how I felt. And all you're doing is describing the situation relative to the truth as it happened to you.
Right.
Both. Here's what happened. Here's why I was angry. And here's why it hurt me or the consequence of that for me. And I felt awful or I felt troubled mm-hmm. or I was hurt by this. Okay. Then you would say to the other party, you know, why don't you tell me your perspective on this? Because they're going to have a perspective.
Right.
And by the way, a lot of times, this is interesting and this has been true for me, is when somebody shares that with me, it's like, well, I can see that, but that was not my intention in any way. Or, I could rationalize all this.
Right.
But I kind of see what you're saying, you know, and because why I'm
and it can reveal a pattern in you, like when somebody calls you out on it too, is, you know, God can use that to reveal, do you see there is this pattern of response, this system of response that you have developed, and it's actually leaving shrapnel in your wake, you know, you're hurting people in this, and I would like to heal you and to heal them in the process, you know?
Right. Because he said, really being disrespectful. And when Linda was saying, you know, hey, you know, let's talk about the fact that you know, didn't show up on time. And she shared, here's what happened. Here's how I felt. Here's what it said to me. Because she did it in a respectful way and talked about truth of just the situation. First of all, I couldn't argue the point.
Right.
That's actually what happened. Now I could rationalize it. Yeah, I got too busy and I was this and that. And she, if I would have said that, you know, I got caught up in a meeting and, you know, all this stuff. And she said, okay, I can see what you're saying here, but that doesn't excuse the mm-hmm. fact that you didn't text me or call me.
Right.
And say you weren't coming because of the situation. And hey, by the way, since it kind of happens more than more than it should be, maybe you're overscheduling. You know, why are you spending more time with somebody else than with me? And it leads to the issue.
And, right.
And I can respond to it. When she lays out the truth, I could try to defend it. And that's where a lot of people will go. mm-hmm. is, well, because I'm justifying why I hurt you. And people go that direction. And God says, right. well, that's okay. You know, keep processing the truth, but get the other party to say, you know, their truth. And he said, it's important as you walk through this to maintain your integrity so that he says, it's not my will that any should perish. What he said, what I don't do is change the truth so mm-hmm. that they don't perish.
Right.
The truth is they have to receive me as their Lord and Savior, and I'm the only way, and there is no other way. And no other religion, no other process is available for them to have an eternal relationship with me. If they don't have that relationship with me and come to that conclusion, they will be separated from me in eternity and live literally in hell.
Right.
Eternally. I can't change that truth.
Right.
I have a heart for them to know me, but I can't change that truth. Okay, so let's look at Philippians 2. 1-6, it gives us a real interesting clue about this.
Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God.
Yep. He says the joy, so he's saying the joy of life is coming to harmony.
Mm.
And God said, I would love that for all relationships. Mm-hmm. To be in harmony, because your life will be so much more full and more beautiful if you're all living in complete harmony.
Right.
And harmony, remember, is agreement with him to live a life of freedom, peace, and joy, and resolution mm-hmm. to the issues of life. So when you think of, you know, our prayer lists that we have, or our thoughts of issues that we have, is we have to process all of them mm-hmm. so that God can bring resolution to come to harmony with him.
Right.
And he said, this is going to be involving, you know, other people. He said, by the way, are you ever going to get to the end of that? No. Why? You live in a life of trouble. You live mm-hmm. in a life of change, you know, just like we had described where you go
right.
to the Oregon. Well, that's a whole new thing that you have to process through. How do you live in harmony with that?
Mm-hmm.
With your kids, with God, with your trips, with your margin, it had lots
of
implication.
Right.
That, you know, kind of spread out from that one thing
mm-hmm.
that God said you have to deal with. So he said, live in harmony. And he said, knowing that you have disagreement, knowing that mm-hmm. you have different viewpoints. He said, as you're speaking the truth, he says, in this one interesting thing, he says, look out not only for your mm-hmm. own interest, but for the interest of others. And this is where the church has brought a false culture, because
mm-hmm.
they take away the first piece of that and say, only look out for the interest of others.
Right.
So if that would be true, then what would I do? If somebody hurt me and offended me, what would I do? I would overlook it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just let them do it. Isn't that healthy? And God says, no, because you're not processing the truth. You're not actually helping them. And one, you're burdened by it, and that's going to impact your soul. You can't get around it.
Right.
You know, and I deal with a lot of people, and you do too, that, you know, here they are, you know, 10 or 15 years later, and they've got a whole host of people that are residing in their soul with anger, frustration, irritation, hurt, that they've never resolved at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in this oppressive thought life. And God says, I want to free you up from that. How? Well, when you speak the truth, it says, while you want to consider their viewpoint,
mm-hmm.
you need to maintain your viewpoint.
Right.
And stay with it until a resolution comes about
mm-hmm.
between the two of you. And then, and by the way, it'll be my resolution. And ideally, you come in agreement with me so that, you know, with Linda, you know, that situation we talked about with me being late, it was important that she maintained how this impacted her. And mm-hmm. she had to talk about it, and she had to share with it and not cave to, well, yeah, Linda, I'm just busy, and you should be willing to let me pick you up late.
Right.
See? And she would say, no, I'm sorry. That doesn't satisfy what I think is right. Mm-hmm. Why? That's my real thought, see?
Right.
And as a couple, and I had to work on this because I was so lousy at this, I had to create safety mm-hmm. for her to be able to share and maintain. I said, you know, I don't want you to cave.
Yeah. Talk about that a little bit, because I think that's important. And I think that is a dynamic you and I both see when we're with couples all the time, is sometimes there is not a safe environment to do this, and it simply amplifies the problem. So talk about, what does it look like to create a safe environment for someone who is used to stuffing to then be able to learn to use their voice?
Yeah. Yeah, because, and think of the pattern of, I speak the truth, the other party overreacts to that with hardness and attack mm-hmm. and force, and it creates more conflict. So I've learned, well, since it's better not to have more conflict,
right.
I'll be the one that stuffs it, and I'm not going to say anything. This is what Linda was doing. You know, mm-hmm. she was just, I'm not going to say anything because it doesn't do any good, you know, and it's worse if right. I speak up. So when you're creating safety, when you start to recognize this, a thing that God had to work on my heart was, I need you and your spouse to be able to process the real truth until you see my answer.
Right.
And Rich, you will be harmed if you don't allow Linda to speak up.
Right.
And I have to encourage that. So when we first did it, I had to say, Linda, why don't you share? And I'm gonna work really hard here, and I'm gonna let God lead me and guide me so that I don't even react to that, mm-hmm. but listen and understand really what you think and feel and what happened here. And I'm gonna work at that, and I'm gonna encourage you, don't stuff it, speak up, don't stuff it, right. speak up. But the key is I couldn't come back then with harshness.
Right.
Because then it wouldn't be safe.
Right. Another aspect of the safety, and so I think that, and I'm completely overgeneralizing, so I realize this, but a lot of times the women's side of it, I think people will relate to me in this, because I was a stuffer. I also, if Dan would bring something, even if he didn't bring it in a harsh way, if he would bring it because of things that I had dealt with growing up on my own, as soon as he brought something to mind, I went to tears. Mm. And so I would, and that was not creating a safe space, because then his personality, he's like, oh my goodness, she's on fire. I need to put her out, you know? And so then rather than staying and expressing his truth, he would pull back because he saw it was bringing me to tears. And that was also, so there's two sides to creating the safe environment. We also have to have a safe environment to receive things as well as to present things. And so yeah. that is something that we have to allow. And that all comes, as we know, back at the feet of God in the throne room, allowing him to prepare your heart. And like you said, staying in your truth, but also being able to go in recognizing, hey, we're on the same team. We want what God right. wants, you know, right. and just changing that perspective. But the safety actually has to come from both sides.
Yep. Yep. And so when you're in the middle of this, it's to keep remembering it's important to keep sharing your truth and to get the other party to listen. You do want to hear what they have to say. He said, look out for the interest of others too. Okay, honey, what do you think? Or, hey, mm-hmm. person, what do you think? How do you see this? Because you may see it differently. Like in my situation where I offended that person, it's like, well, my perspective was I didn't intend any of that.
Right.
I'm so sorry, you know, but it wasn't working on solution. It was just understanding our view of the truth of what happened that then could lead to solution. See, and so think of it in a two-step process. If we are going to come to reconciliation, number one is speak the truth of the situation and maintain that mm-hmm. and keep speaking that truth. If the other party tries to diminish it or overcome it or spin it or defend it, well, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it really did hurt me, and here's why, you know, and you just mm-hmm. stay with it. And then, and we'll talk about this into this next week, is we'll say, okay, now that we understand each other, how do we resolve this? How mm-hmm. do we come to a solution about this? And separate them into two different things.
Right.
Don't jump to solution. You know, so actually the worst thing that Linda could have done would be to say, I don't want you to be late anymore. And if you do, you're going to, you know, text me. That's it. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't share anything.
Right.
About how we felt, thought, or believed about the situation. It was just going to a solution, which I could say, okay, fine, but it may not happen that way all the time because, and we actually didn't do anything.
Yeah. It's funny as you say that, I think about a parenting precept that I always teach in like mom's groups is the difference between behavior modification and character transformation. When you're looking at this, you're not looking just for behavior modification. You want to guide each other into allowing God to transform our characters, right? It's not just about changing the behavior.
Yeah. And through the very process itself, see, Linda would be looking to, do you even care about me?
Mm-hmm.
And well, the way to express that would be listening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand how you feel. I see how you feel. I can appreciate how you feel. And so let's talk about, you know, that I missed this. I'm sorry I missed it. Let's maybe, you know what? I think I'm overscheduled and maybe I got to do something different. And for sure, to honor you, I could have easily texted you. That was disrespectful of me, you know. And
right.
What does that do? See, it teaches that other party that I care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're trying to do by speaking the truth in love. So keep maintaining your position and don't cave until you, and then particularly when we get into solution side, this is important. So that as we come to a resolution, it's got to be acceptable and positive for both parties.
Right.
And if it's not, stay with it. No, you're not there yet. And don't let them just, shrug it off and say, oh yeah, okay, fine. You know, in the future, I'll try to do better. She said, no, this isn't about trying to do better. It's that, this is important. And Rich, I think you need to look at your schedule underneath it all. And let's look at that piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm willing to do that. See, and God's what's God doing, leading us to the real solution, which was for my benefit, interesting enough. So it's kind of cool. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this real interesting admonition of look out not only for your own interest, but for the interest of others, which means we've got to maintain our integrity as we share the truth and process to solutions. May we learn to just get the issue on the table and process that first, and then work on solutions about that as we go forward, as we're trying to reconcile with this other party. Give us that heart to do it with a desire to go to harmony, which is where the joy of life really is. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.